Hi, this is Paul. On the live stream that I did on Friday, this will probably come out Monday or Tuesday. I don't know when I'll put this out. Jacob was quoting Abraham Kuyper to me, which was fun because Jacob's frustration, along with many other people's frustration, all this talk, what about doing? How do you sort of connect all of these high ideas and get them down to the ground? Because unless they're on the ground and playing out in people's lives in good ways, what's the value of them? And that's a really excellent question. Now, the art conference is in fact supposed to be about things on the ground. Well, where to start with this? Jacob was asking about application. So the first day, I had never heard of Paul Marshall, and sort of by virtue of what this conference was about, okay, free markets and nuclear energy and fossil fuels and a virtuous future and not being pessimistic about the future with respect to all sorts of things, a lot of the stuff that you'll generally hear from Jordan Peterson's channel. And one of the speeches that I came in, I actually walked in a little bit late on this because I was talking to people outside in the lobby area, was Paul Marshall. And Paul Marshall caught my attention right away when he was talking about things like this.
For these people, free market capitalism faces a crisis of legitimacy. So we need to stand up for free market capitalism. But we also need to be careful what exactly it is that we are defending. Ultimately, free markets only truly prosper in societies where there is a proper shared understanding of virtue and mutual honor.
Now, again, if you look at the title of my live stream this morning, the reassertion of civilizational Christianity. And so these themes that will not be uncommon to many of you, that sort of the machinery of liberal, of prosperous liberal Western society only runs if it's sort of infused by Christians living out virtuous lives. This is something that you'll hear in American politics and in many ways, what you need, the way the church is supposed to run. The church is supposed to help make people virtuous, and then they go out into the public square and they operate virtuously, and then you get justice and you get all these blessings that we've seen in Western secular society. And he's basically making some of those points.
That is why the City of London prospered for so many years on little more than the ethic of my word is my bond. Corrupt societies, on the other hand, practice tribalism and cronyism. Think Somalia, or Sicily, or Davos. The biggest danger to free markets today is that we are losing that shared understanding of virtue. When virtue breaks down, you begin to see the emergence of mutant strains of capitalism. So let's talk about free market capitalism's mutant siblings. There are three big ones. First, monopoly capitalism. If you play the game of monopoly long enough, somebody always ends up controlling the board, just like real life. Some in Silicon Valley argue that these winners have earned the right to enjoy the fruits of their success and the right to price gouge to their heart's content. If Apple wants to charge a 30% tax on their app, some might say, let them. They have earned the privilege. The problem with this argument is that the genius behind Apple was Steve Jobs, not the corporate executives who are now clipping the coupons. Predatory behavior is rife in the US. Whether it is the Apple App Store, or the way Uber treats their drivers, or airlines treat their passengers. In most US airports, one airline controls over half the landing rights. Many states have health insurance markets where the top two insurers have an 80 or 90% market share.
Now, right away, you might begin to say, hey, wait a minute, what kind of conference was this? I thought this was supposed to be like this right-wing conference, and here this guy is saying all these things.
Perhaps most serious of all, two companies, Google and Meta, control not only half the US digital advertising market, but half the global market. Given the concerns that many of us have about the curtailment of free speech, this is an issue which goes well beyond monopoly capitalism. So I say gently to my US friends that maybe your monopoly laws need to be looked at with a fresh pair of eyes. Maybe the new Speaker of the House will be able to help. The second mutant sibling is crony capitalism. Joseph Schumpeter, the great economist of entrepreneurship, predicted that free market capitalism would end in a form of corporatism not so different from socialism itself. Corporatism is not free enterprise. It is a sort of nightmare endgame for free enterprise, where the managerial and administrative classes take control and manage the system in their own best interests. Let me tell you a story. We are just...
All right, so that'll give you a taste. And if you want to watch the video, it's right there on the Alliance for Responsible Citizenship. Gary Marshall was... Hollywood guy. Paul Marshall, you can watch the whole video if that's what you're into. But again, there's plenty of application at this conference. Now, when we think about this conference, we think about Jordan Peterson because we've sort of gathered downstream from Jordan Peterson. Jordan Peterson's the guy who has all of the visibility. But two people that were critical in the founding of this conference is Philippa and David Stroud. Now, David Stroud's talk is not yet on the YouTube page, and I hope they didn't lose it or something like that, because the talk that he gave both to sort of the little North American gathering, the reception the first night, and to the full body, the plenary session, those were some of the best talks in terms of understanding what on earth ARC is about. I'm going to replay, I played this in a video already, I'm going to replay Philippa Stroud's story about how this thing sort of emerged, because I think this emergence story is important to try to understand what's going on here.
What ARC is, how Jordan got to you, and where you want to go with this thing.
Yeah, thanks, Dave. So ARC is really a movement of people who are basically saying that we've had enough of a declinist permacrisis, polycrisis type way of thinking. We actually believe that there is a better story, a better way forward, and a more hopeful narrative. And because we so believe in story, because it shapes who we are and it shapes our direction of travel as societies, that we actually want to come together to develop a better story for our society. But actually, when I think back to how it all started, I had invited Jordan to come and do a talk at the think tank that I led in London. And we had a fantastic time with him. The whole time we were focused on freedom of speech and higher education and how we restored freedom of speech and academic freedom back to our universities. And at the end of it, he went on his way, did a big tour around Eastern Europe. Mm-hmm. And halfway through that tour, he rang me and he said, "Philippa, everywhere I go, there are people, fantastic leaders, but they're so isolated. And they're doing amazing work. What would happen if we brought them all together to do a conference in London?" And I thought, great story. And at the end of it, he just said to me, "Philippa, do you know this chap called Paul Marshall?" And I said, "Yeah, great friend of mine." So I pinged an email and said, "Hey, Jordan, meet Paul. Paul, meet Jordan. You're going to love each other." Next couple of days, Paul rings me and says, "You know this conference that you and Jordan are doing? I'm in." And I kind of thought, what conference? Anyway, it kind of just snowballed from there. And it, you know when like an idea's time has come, it just mm-hmm. has momentum behind it and people wanting to get on board and make it happen? That's what ARC has been like from beginning to end.
I have to say, just on a per—
Okay, so there's the story, and it's completely believable, because it's just that these people are living at a different level, and it's like, "Oh, you know, me and John Van Dock are talking, and you know this estuary thing, let's do that." And so here I have Living Stones and a dozen people show up and we have a little estuary meeting, and it sort of grows from there. Its time had come. Now, but of course, these people just don't pop out of the ground like daisies. they have stories and histories, and some of you have been feeding me some more and more of their backstory, and it's been, a lot of what I've learned has been quite interesting. And one of the things that I found was, oh, come on, here it is. Let me refresh this page. The Everything Conference. Do you want to see cultural renewal? Scroll. Okay. Imagine a society where the poor are cared for, the justice system is trusted, where journalists report without bias, and artists create in a way that lifts people higher. A place where politicians lead with integrity, broken families find community, and everyone works together to create a culture that benefits us all. As followers of Jesus, we're invited into this story together. What does your heart long for? What areas of society do you want to see changed? What skills or influence has the Lord given you to steward? Everything exists to equip and inspire Christians to work for cultural renewal in our cities, communities, cities, and nations. What do you want to join us on this journey? And this guy right here, wearing denim, Kale, I might add, is Paul Stroud, because he is a minister. And you have, you know, this is, you have this nice website, and you have all of this kind of thing, and this is all about a conference. But then there is this video, which of course is embedded, but it's on YouTube. So let's play the video and let's see what we see. Here we have this London Street, and in my membership section, I sat right up there on the top of that double decker and had my camera there because it was wild watching these bus drivers drive. Here we go.
Speak in another nation, which I was told was in revival. What I found was that the churches...
Well, let's go. Let's start at the beginning.
Some years ago, I was invited to speak in another nation, which I was told was in revival. What I found was that the churches were full to overflowing, but there was absolutely no change in society. In other words, kidnapping was a genuine danger at the airport. Poverty was everywhere, corruption was endemic in business, and nobody trusted the politicians. So it seemed to me that whatever had happened, we were falling short of what God really wanted. Now, the heart of the Everything Conference was born out of that experience.
Okay, now, it's not an Orthodox church. And it's, you know, there's, as Louise Perry had noted, there's sort of two churches that are really going strong right now in the UK and in the US to a degree, too. It's churches that are using music as a powerful psychotechnology to bind people together and motivate people and move people and give them a sense of one through modern music and modern instrument. It's expressive. You can see it here. And of course, the music here is upbeat. But if you caught what he said, I mean, this is about civilizational Christianity, a Christianity that goes all the way down, where business people, where people in their Calvinist circles, we talk about this as sphere sovereignty. Now, it's a little bit different from subsidiarity. That more looks at sort of the levels of society. And of course, in this corner, we've been talking about sort of the hollowing out of the middle, where Jonathan Peugeot has talked about that quite a bit. But let's keep going and see who else we find.
Speaking as a historian and not as a Christian, historically, Christianity has been the profoundest, the most successful way of explaining to people what humanity is on the face of the planet to do. If we want to...
Ha, 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 ha. Tom Holland was at the Everything Conference. Now, those of you who caught the live stream this morning saw that I made a request of Mostly Not Working. If you don't know who Mostly Not Working is, he hasn't appeared on the channel. In fact, he and I had a randos conversation, which didn't get published because he doesn't want his face and his name out there. But what he does on YouTube or on Twitter is often feed me some memes, and he makes memes of the things I said. And so today, per my request, he made this one for me. Oh, come on. Yeah. Beneath this cover of secularity is Christianity, and the Christianity needs to go deep in the culture, and many cultures in the world, and in Latin America and Africa and Asia, where you don't have sort of this, the Christianity that it's sort of gotten deep into, you have these, and this isn't to say that there isn't corruption in the developed West either, but the kinds of corruption that I saw in Latin America, in Africa, in Asia, you know, is just absolutely debilitating for governance, for the country, for economics, for everything. Jordan Peterson had made the comment in his earlier videos that in high trust society, the economics flourish. And he talked about eBay, where, you know, eBay should have died the death with one transaction, that you see something online, you click to buy, it never gets there, they steal your money, eBay is dead. But no, in a high trust society, I see that all the time. People buy stuff on eBay, and even now it's like you really trust that, and most of the time it comes out, it's okay. Very interesting what's going on here.
If we want to rebuild the world, then we must rebuild ourselves. And if we want to rebuild ourselves, then we must learn.
Oh, I recognize him. He was at the art conference too.
Pray. I don't believe that poetry is anything but an unsanitized prayer.
Oh, he would really fit well in the little conference that's going to go on in Arkansas next weekend, all about poetry, with Father Eric and Dr. Jim and Ted. I'm not going to be at that conference, but, you know, and then look who's here. She was just on Dave Rubin, and there's the pastor, and behind them, of course, there's Tom Holland, and it's like, something's going on, and it's a good thing.
We complicate things like, what should I be doing? How should I be?
Oh, there's Tom again.
If you sit quietly, you will know what you should do. He will talk to you. He talks to.
Oh, this is very religious, because he doesn't mean, you know, means the Holy Spirit, God. Tim Campbell, don't know who that is. Entrepreneur and business leader talking to Philippa Stroud.
To all of us all the time.
You can do millions of things at the policy.
Oh, there's Philippa Stroud again.
Level, but it all just comes down to us as individuals trying to create the world that we want to see.
We think that what Jesus did and taught is the best news anywhere for everybody.
He's a preacher, after all.
And we think it's all about not only being disciples in terms of great, powerful spiritual lives, but also working out how do we live that out in everyday life. And that is what we tried to illustrate today.
This video, when I found it, had all of 62 views over the last 10 months, and the Everything Conference had a total of 206 subscribers. I don't know if they're going to be posting anything else, but obviously people are like, well, what's behind this arc and what's going on? And it's like, I think the Everything Conference had a bit of a jump. But I think its main movers are, now the stage is different. They're doing a little different thing, but it seems like these people have the same thing in mind. It's a conspiracy. Don't tell Grim Grizz. But it's a good conspiracy. Dallas Willard might call it a divine conspiracy. So, yes, things are interesting. So, just connecting some of the dots. So, leave a comment.